You're listening to Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, and I'm kind of terrified because we are going to be chatting to Martin Ridgely, and he's just joined Hilburn's Pest Control. He's been made part of the team. They've been going for about 30 years. We're going to find out a little bit more about them. But first of all, let's find out a little bit more about Martin, who is a zoo biologist. Welcome, Martin.
Hello.
What is a zoo biologist?
Okay, so a zoo biologist is somebody that basically runs or implements, looks after zoological parks. It actually goes inside with conservational science as well. So although you said I'm a zoo biologist, I'm actually a conservational scientist and a zoo biologist.
Do you know what? I don't think I've ever spoken to a scientist before, so you're like super intelligent.
Well, I don't know about intelligence. It's more passion.
Okay. So you've recently joined Hilburn's.
Yes, that's true. Basically, over lockdown, we had a few plans for me to start doing collaborations with them. And eventually, I just ended up going on their books.
Do you know what? The one thing that amazes me, I think of pest control, and I think of... you just eradicate pests. But I would imagine that if you're going to do that kind of thing, they've brought you in, or they've already done it anyway, that they're going to do it nicely, if that's a way of putting it.
Well, that's very true. There's humane ways of dealing with pests, and then there's just getting rid of pests. Unfortunately, the just getting rid of pests has led to a huge amount of rodenticide, which is the poison that they use. It's an anticoagulant, sorry, I can't say that word, that's used to manage the population. But unfortunately, because people are putting so much of it down, it's affecting other wildlife through secondary poisoning.
So, I mean, would it be fair to say that there's nice pests and there's pests that you just have to get rid of?
I hate to say it myself, but you're kind of correct there. We have the rat, the brown rat that we've got over here. Although it does have a right to be here, it does have its place. Unfortunately, they do carry loads of diseases and they become a public health issue, especially when we're talking about restaurants, also people's houses, pets as well. There's bites. You never really know.
So which is the ones that you would kind of catch nicely and put back into, you know, a different environment?
See, the only downside with that is relocation of animals is actually more harsh than, sorry to say it, than ending that animal's life. If you were to take a species and relocate it, say, 6 or 7 miles down the road, you're effectively putting that animal into another animal's territory, which causes stress and can then lead to fighting, which leads in death. So ultimately, you're upsetting the balance. So it's best sometimes you do have to use a rodenticide or a snap trap. I hate using that word, snap trap, but it's a reality.
What is a rodenticide then? Are we getting back to rat poisoning?
Basically, yes. I mean, this is something that Hilburn's is trying very hard not to do. And they do that through field biology research, by looking at every single job as an individual, looking at the local fauna and flora that's around, and also going down to see if they can find any way of stopping pests from entering properties. And once you've done that, you end up with the rat outside instead of inside, where it's a lot more easily managed. Whereas if they're indoors, it's a closed environment, you could potentially use a rodenticide to be able to get rid of the rat. But then in saying that, it's not running out into the garden and getting eaten and then secondary poisoning another animal.
You sound like an expert on rats, so I'm just going to ask you a curveball question. How many types of rats are roaming around the Isle of Wight, do you think?
There's only one, really, and that's the brown rat. We did have a black rat, the ship rat, but it's the brown rat that we see more of today.
And are they deemed pests?
They are pests. But then it's a really interesting fact that you've brought up pests. Like you say, most people think that mice and rats are pests. But the reality of that is there are many other pests on the island that people don't even think about. One thing I'd like to say, and it sounds really bad, but at the moment, there's human-animal conflict, which is where animals come into people's houses or into their gardens. Some people like them being there, other people don't. the people that don't want them being there end up seeing them as a pest. So it's not as simple as saying rats and mice. I'm talking about things like badgers, stoats, any animal that can cause damage or cause problem to a property or around the property, people see as a pest.
Okay, that's interesting. What about foxes? I guess they are as well.
Foxes as well can be seen as a pest, especially around London. But on the Isle of Wight, it doesn't seem to be that bad. But then in saying that, I'd need evidence and scientific papers to be able to back that up.
Do you also have to be like very switched on with the law? Because I'm guessing there's laws that protect certain pests.
So if I go back to badgers, badgers are a protected. But if a badger enters your garden and decides to make a set there, then there's absolutely nothing you could do. You would have to get hold of the right powers that be to get a license to have those badgers removed. But during that time, your pets are at danger. Next door neighbours might be having a wall erected, but buildings had to stop. And it's all of these kind of things that cause human-animal conflict, which make people hate the species that some people are trying to protect.
It's a fascinating topic, and I don't think we can sort of cover it all in about sort of 5-10 minutes. So I'm really hoping that at some point you can come into the studio and we can talk more thoroughly. But I've still got a lot of questions for you, and that is when should we call Hilbins, Tim? What sort of things do you get called for?
All sorts of things, to be completely honest with you. Generally, it depends on the season. If it's summer, midsummer, it's generally going to be things like hornets, wasps, and that's because a lot of the rats and the mice, they're out in the countryside living life, and that's because there's enough food out for them to actually be able to do that. When we then kind of get towards winter or autumn, which we are now, we're starting to see rats to go into people's houses. They're finding little holes that have kind of bits of concrete that have eroded throughout the summer, and they're making their way in. What else do we get called for? Rats, mice. We've had a few phone calls about dogs that have been poisoned as well. All sorts of things, to be honest with you.
Okay, so when we're thinking of, you know, gardening and sorting the garden out and so on, is there some things that we can do in our own gardens to prevent pests?
There is, but unfortunately, my answer to that might make people not like me.
Right, okay.
So we all are aware that if we leave food out overnight, it will attract rats. It's something that I think nearly every single person is taught at some point in their early life. So leaving bird seed out, that kind of attracts rats. If we look at, say, for instance, at the moment, there's hedgehogs that everybody in the country is trying to get together to be able to move forward and help the species as a whole. But unfortunately, it puts them into play with other species, so predators, and it also puts them straight in front of the line of becoming secondary poisoned from rodenticides. As they're insectivores, they eat insects and slugs, and slugs seem to love rodenticide. It doesn't affect the slugs, but if a hedgehog eats too many of them, it will affect the hedgehog and kill the hedgehog. So feeding wildlife in your garden is a fantastic thing to do. But myself, I personally believe that it should be managed better. It should be managed seasonally, really, and it should be open for everybody to enjoy.
Is that the most common mistake that people make, thinking that they're helping by feeding?
Unfortunately, yes. At the moment, we're teaming up with somebody known as Lauren Moore, who is going to come down and have a look at the hedgehog population on the Isle of Wight for me. And I'm working together with her. We're going to try and find out if we're breeding weakness into hedgehogs, because obviously some of them that wouldn't have the chance to breed in the wild because of genetic, not deformities, but because the species themselves, every now and again, you get one that wouldn't survive in the wild. By feeding it in your garden, you're giving it food. It is surviving and it's getting the opportunity to breed. So we want to look at that as well. And also ways that we can manage a whole system of gardens. So the hedgehog comes in, might say hello, and then go straight back out. When we say helping hedgehogs in gardens, it should be more about creating highways for them to be able to get out of the garden once they're in.
Another random question, because this crops up quite a lot, and it's caused many arguments in our house. should you feed ducks bread?
You shouldn't do, really, no. To be honest with you, sorry. If you're going to go out and go look at the ducks, go look at the ducks. If you're going to go feed the ducks, something I wouldn't naturally do, I would kind of use a bit of corn. Or if not, go and have a look down the herb side of things and see what you can feed herb-wise to a duck. All ducks are kind of different, but ducks in themselves create an environment where rats thrive.
Wow. Do you know, it's a fascinating topic, and I know that I could spend hours talking to you and asking you so many questions. What's the most common thing that you have to deal with?
I joined kind of midsummer, so for me, it must be wasps. But as the months, well, as the weeks are going by, we're starting to see a lot more rodents. So I think towards the beginning, well, all the way through the winter, it's going to be rodents.
Is that a common thing every year?
It will be, yep. Like I said earlier, they like to go outside. Well, to be honest with you, during the summer, there's a lot of food already about in fruiting flowers, bushes, trees, insects as well. A lot of people don't realise that rats will eat insects. So all of that's out there for them in the winter, in the summer. And then when it comes to the winter, there's no food about. People are trying to entice different animals in their garden by feeding them, which is a very apical thing to do because of the weather and the situation of British wildlife. But unfortunately, rats come along with that. And rats are a bit more industrious and they will find a way into your house. So it is always rats.
If you've got a rat problem, what should you do?
It depends where it is. If it's actually in your garden, try moving things about. That will kind of scare the rats off. They suffer from something known as neophobia, which is the fear of anything new. If there's one inside your house, however, phone your local pest controller.
Okay. Would that be the same for a wasp nest, a hornet's nest?
A wasp nest as well, depending on where it is. If it's on a public byway that you've gone for a walk with your dog and you've seen it, or if it's in your garden or in your house, yes, phone your pest controller. They will come out and they will deal with it. Some people do suffer badly and are allergic to stings. Some people aren't. But the ones that are allergic to the stings, they are the ones that really need to be protected in that kind of situation. However, I would like to stress that it doesn't really dent the population.
Now, look, I a couple of weeks ago, and this is a true story, there was this massive thing flying around in our front room, and it was a massive queen wasp. And I was a bit freaked out by it because it was so big. And I was also a bit worried that, well, if there's one, there must be others. Would there be?
To begin with, a queen wasp, I reckon it was probably a European hornet, which is absolutely humongous, which we've dealt with quite a lot this year. To be honest with you, it's not really a thing to worry about if there's just one. Hornets themselves are quite laid back compared to wasps. So a hornet will come in, it will investigate, you open a window, it will go. If it's a wasp, however, and there's one, it could be that you're in a flight path. And by opening your window, they've come to fly through your flight path and ended up in your house. So just try and let it go. However, you'll know 100% if you've got a wasp nest nearby. And that's because you'll see quite a few of them.
Right, okay. And then you should call.
And then call straight away, yep.
And leave the house.
Yeah, that's a good idea. When you treat them, obviously the same with bees as well. If you disturb a nest, it gets really, really hyperactive. We've dealt with quite a few people this summer where they've tried to treat it themselves using a shop-brought powder. The downside to that is you're putting the powder into the environment to begin with. Secondly, if you go and disturb a wasp nest, you won't just have 3 or 4 wasps outside of it. You'll have 300 or 400. You know, and there's been times where we've treated people and we've had to stay there for a good half an hour to an hour, making sure that people don't walk past it because they will get stung.
Crikey. I would imagine you're wearing all the safety gear.
Yep, although I do think mine's a little bit too small for me.
Right.
Look like the steak marshmallow man.
Right, okay. Hey, look, I could talk to you and ask you all sorts of daft questions for ages. I won't keep you any longer, but I've got to ask you about a recent education certificate that you got.
Right, okay then. So at the moment, the British Pest Authority or Association, which is a brilliant kind of association. It governs when people can or can't use rodenticides. So you take a test online. They do give you loads of information to read. And as long as you pass that test, it means that you can buy strong poisons, if you will, rodenticides. The stuff that you buy in shops aren't that strong. I'd just like to stress that. And obviously, it's for your pest controller to have the stronger type of anticoagulants that we can use in the environment. So I've just recently passed that. However, another really exciting thing that's happening, and I have to take my hat off to all pest controllers around the country for this, people are starting to get a qualification in field biology, which is absolutely brilliant because it means every pest controller can go out there, have a look at the local environment, investigate instead of just putting poison down, which is ultimately going to help the wildlife. It's also going to keep everybody happy, and it's not going to create too much conflict.
Do you think there's enough education for, I don't mean for young people and so on, I don't mean like in a school way, but do you think there's enough sort of stuff out there for people like me and our listeners to actually learn from and think, well, actually putting that down isn't the right thing to do. If I was to do this, it would be better.
Okay, so yes and no. I think there's enough publicity out there to help people understand that there's problems, not just in conservation, but in pest control. The only downside is a lot of it is secondary information off of Facebook, or it's other people's interpretation of what they've been told off of TV programs. And unfortunately, hearts are always in the right place, which is something I'd always like to stress. But it's almost like trying to put up an IKEA cupboard with only having half the instructions. So I do believe there should be more education out there. Places should be more transparent. And everybody should be working together, because after all, the Isle of Wight is a small island and it's got a fantastic community. We've got an amazing wildlife biodiversity, so we should all be trying to protect it.
Okay, I've got one more daft question before you go. What's the difference between a red squirrel and a grey squirrel besides colour?
One's actually an invasive species brought over from America, and the other one is our indigenous timid species, the red. We're lucky, we really don't see them over here. And I remember the first time they went over to Portsmouth, I was about 10 or 11, and I saw a grey squirrel and sat there with my mother and went, "What's that, please?" Because it was something completely different. Yep.
All right, so one of them's Trump-like and one of them's not.
I don't know if I can say that. One of them's big, one of them's small, one outcompetes the other. Also, obviously, one brought a disease over as well. So that kind of helped to eradicate most of the reds around the UK. But it's not just their fault. It was also garden management and how Victorians and people from the Victorian time have then decided to change the landscape for their own kind of aesthetic feel. So we've got rid of a lot of different trees that the red squirrels would thrive on. But the grey squirrels will thrive on the trees that have been put there and old trees. So they just outcompete continuously.
Okay, so I've got to ask one last question. Why Hilburn's? They've been going for 30 years. You've been doing what you're doing. Why have the two of you got together?
To be honest with you, it's all to do with the rodenticide that we're seeing in the environment. And also, Hilburn's see a lot of problems at the moment where they'll go to try and sort out a rodent problem. They will say to people, you know, don't put your bird feeders out during the treatment. They will explain to them that the reason that they're getting rats, but people will not move away from what they've learned on Facebook or what they've seen or heard a snippet of on the radio. So their willingness to want to change the way that people look at pest control and garden management, to me, is quite inspiring. And it's something that I'm into as well, which is the whole rodenticide being present within the environment. They want to change that. I want to change that. It's a win-win situation.
Brilliant. Hey, look, Martin, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. And I could have carried on talking to you for the next 3 hours, but you would have got fed up with all my daft questions.
Not at all.
Will you come back at some point and do another interview?
Definitely.
Excellent. Do you want to pick a song and we'll play you a song?
Okay, Shirley Ellis, The Name Game.
Okay, we'll see if we can dig that out. I thought he was going to go for the rat trap.
No.
Thanks for being there, Martin.
That's all right, mate. Thank you very much.